بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. In the previous lesson we started the fifth principle from Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, and we looked at the explanation of Shaykh Ubayd al-Jabri. And in that lesson, we looked at the definition of a wali. We said that the word wali is explained through a number of other words: al-nasir, al-qarib, al-muhib, the one who aids, the one who is close, and the one who loves. And then the Shaykh went on to explain the three verses that were mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab in the text of the principle, the verse which establishes that ittiba, following and imitating the messenger, is one of the signs of having friendship and allegiance to Allah. And likewise the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he addresses the believers and says that whoever turns on his back from the religion, then Allah will soon bring a people who love him and he loves them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went on to mention a certain number of characteristics of those people who love him in that ayah. And the third verse, the third famous verse, which is in Surah Yunus, which establishes the two foundations of allegiance and loyalty to Allah and the characteristics of the awliya, which is the saying of Allah, Allah inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. Verily, the pious friends of Allah have no fear, nor shall they grieve, those who believe and used to have taqwa. So here, piety, taqwa, and iman, they are the two foundations of, the two characteristics of a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh went through each of these verses one by one, and we derived numerous benefits from each ayah as it relates to this particular subject. And then the Shaykh went on to describe how the believers are classified into a number of different categories based upon their level of iman and their level of taqwa. And there are three levels and three ranks: those who are foremost in good deeds, those who are moderate in between, and those who wrong their own souls. And that was taken from an ayah in Surah Fatir, the 32nd ayah of Surah Fatir, in which this classification is mentioned. And this was essentially what we covered in the previous lesson. The Shaykh also mentioned the hadith, the famous hadith Qudsi, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Whoever shows enmity to a wali of mine, I have declared war upon him. And how in that hadith, it is established how a person becomes a wali of Allah by doing that which is obligatory and increasing in that which is from the voluntary deeds, up until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person and Allah becomes his hearing, his seeing, his hands, and so on and so forth to the end of the hadith. And the explanation that we gave, in the sense that it means that Allah protects and preserves the hearing and the seeing and the hands and the feet of that person. So all of that was in the previous lesson. Today we continue with Shaykh Ubayd's explanation. And what the Shaykh does now is that he takes three or four passages from the Quran. These are entire passages from the Quran, and they elaborate upon the theme of this principle. The principle is that who are the awliya of Allah, and who try to resemble them but are not really from them, and what are the traits and characteristics of either party. So in keeping with that, the Shaykh has brought four separate passages from the Quran, in each of which you see the description of the awliya and the description of those who are other than the awliya. So we'll read through each of them. The first passage is from Surah Al-Mutaffifin, which is the 83rd surah. In the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he describes, he says, "Kalla inna kitab al-fujjari lafi sijjin," that indeed the written record of the sinners, the sinful people, will be in the sijjin. Wama adraka ma sijjin, and what will inform you what is the sijjin? Kitabun marqum, it is a written record. Kitabun marqum, a written record. Waylun yawma idhil lil mukaththibin, woe be to the deniers on that day. Alladhina yukaththibuna biyawmid din, those who deny and reject the day of resurrection. Wama yukaththibu bihi illa kullu mu'tadin athim, and only he denies it and rejects it who is a criminal transgressor. إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلِيهِ آيَاتُنَا قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ, when our signs are rehearsed unto him, he says, these are tales of the ancients, these are fables of men passed by. كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, but no, that which they earned has made a rust to appear on their hearts, it has caused their hearts to rust. كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون, and no, on that day they will be veiled from their Lord. ثم إنهم لصال الجحيم, then they will roast and burn in the fire. ثم يقال هذا الذي كنتم به تكذبون, and then it will be said that this is what you used to reject. So this passage here is describing the attributes of the A'da'ullah, the enemies of Allah, who are in contrast to the awliya, to the awliya of Allah. So here the main two characteristics is that, for number one, it is kufr, disbelief, and the second, it is takdhib, it is rejection and denial of yawmul qiyamah. They deny and reject that they will be resurrected and called to account and made to answer for all of their deeds. And on account of this rejection, therefore, we see that they do not strive, and nor do they act, in order to prepare for this day. So, all of this is from the attributes of the enemies of Allah. And as for the attributes of His awliya, that follows immediately afterwards in the next passage, in the second passage. In here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, "Kalla inna kitab al-abrari lafi illiyin." Indeed, the written record of the righteous ones will be in illiyin. Wama adraka ma illiyun, and what will inform you what is this illiyun? It is a written record. Yashhaduhu al-muqarrabun, it is witnessed by those who are brought near. Innal abrara lafi na'im, indeed the righteous ones will be in bliss. Alal araiki yanzurun, they will be reclining on couches, watching. تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ نَضْرَةً نَعِيمٍ, you will see on their faces a radiant delight, a pleasure and radiance on their faces. يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ رَحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ, and they will be given to drink from pure wine which is sealed. خِتَامُهُ مِسْكٍ, its seal is of musk. وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ, and for that, let those who compete, or let those who race, then let them race, let them compete. وَمِزَاجُهُ مِن تَسْنِيم, and it is mixed with the water of tasneem. عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا الْمُقَرَّبُونَ, which is a spring, it is a spring, this tasneem is a spring, from which those who are brought near will drink from. So here we see that this is the description of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we see in Surah Al-Furqan, which is the 25th surah, right at the very end of this surah, we see again a description of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in this passage, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ حَوْنًا. The servants of Ar-Rahman who walk upon the earth in humility. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And when the ignorant ones, when they address them, they say salama, peace. وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. Those who spend the night in prostration, standing and in prostration to their Lord. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمَا إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. And those who say, O our Lord, divert from us the punishment of the fire. Indeed, its punishment is an anguish. إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. What an evil abode it is, and what an evil station it is. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بِنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. And those who, when they spend, they neither go into excess, nor are they miserly, but rather they take a path in between that, a moderate path in between that. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٍ. And those who do not invoke alongside Allah another deity. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. And nor do they kill a soul which Allah has made unlawful, except on account of a right. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. And nor do they commit fornication. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ يَلْقَ عَثَامًا. And whoever does that, then he shall fall into the penalty of sin. He shall face the penalty of sin. يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيُخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا. And the punishment will be doubled for him on the day of judgment, and he shall remain therein in humiliation. And then at the very end of this passage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا حَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And those who say, O our Lord, bestow upon us wives or spouses and offspring who are the pleasure of our eyes, and make us as leaders for the righteous, for the people of taqwa. So you see in this passage, there are many different qualities and characteristics mentioned of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they spend their night in prostration and bowing, those who invoke Allah to be saved from the punishment of the fire, those who spend in moderation, they're not spendthrifts, nor are they misers, those who do not commit shirk by invoking other than Allah, they do not take life unlawfully, and nor do they commit fornication. And they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for righteous spouses and offspring. So all of these are from the traits and characteristics of the awliya of Allah. And then we see in the fourth passage that the Shaykh brings, this is in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, the 56th surah, and in this towards the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ. So when the soul reaches the throat, when the soul reaches the throat, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. And you are waiting, you are watching thereon, you are watching. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. And we are closer to it than you are, but you do not see. فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ. So if you are truly not subservient to us, if you are not enslaved to us, تَرِجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Why do you not then bring it back? Why do you not return back this soul if you are really truthful? فَأَمَّا إِن كَانَ مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. So as for the one who is from the muqarrabin, from those who are brought near, فَأَمَّا إِنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. So as for the one who is from those brought near, فَرَوْحٌ وَرَيْحَانٌ وَجَنَّةُ نَعِيمٌ. Then a فَرَوْحٌ, a breath of life, and plentiful, and a paradise of bliss. وَأَمَّا إِنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينَ. And as for if he is from the people of the right hand, فَسَلَامٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينِ, then greetings of peace to you from the people of the right hand. These two which are mentioned here are from the righteous servants of Allah who are brought near, the closest to Allah, and those who are the people of the right hand, they are the ones who are rewarded on Yawmul Qiyamah, and they are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the third group Allah brings, وَأَمَّا إِن كَانَ مِنَ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ الضَّالِّينَ, and as for he who is from the rejectors and deniers who are astray, فَنُزُلٌ مِّنْ حَمِيمٍ, then boiling water, وَتَسْلِيَةُ جَحِيمٍ, and a burning fire, the roasting in the fire. Ibn Kathir رحمه ta'ala, he comments upon this and he says, these three scenarios mentioned here in these verses, they are the different scenarios of the people when they are brought present, meaning on Yawmul Qiyamah. So either he is from the Muqarrabeen, the closest to Allah, or he is less than them from the people of the right hand, and both of these are rewarded. Or he continues, وَإِمَّا أَن يَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ, or he is from those who are from the rejectors and deniers of the truth, الضالين, who are astray, عَنِ الْهُدَى, from the guidance, الْجَاهِلِينَ بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ, who are ignorant of the command of Allah. So therefore, from all of these passages in the Qur'an, these are samples in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes and contrasts between the awliya of Allah and the a'da, the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the shaykh goes on to bring a number of ahadith in which we find a further clarification and elaboration of some of the traits and qualities of those who are the awliya of Allah. So the first of them is the hadith in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ, there are three things which if found in a person, he will have tasted the sweetness of Iman, that Allah and His Messenger are more beloved to him than what is besides them both, that he loves a man, not loving him except for the sake of Allah, and that he hates to revert to disbelief after Allah has saved him therefrom, just as he hates to be thrown into the hellfire. So these, the Shaykh says, are the attributes of the awliya of Allah. They are the characteristics of the believers by which he finds the sweetness of Iman. He puts the love of Allah and His Messenger ahead of everything else. And this means that he stops and he implements the commands of Allah, and he withholds and keeps away from the prohibitions of Allah. He treats as halal what Allah and His Messenger have made halal. He treats as haram what Allah and His Messenger has made haram. And secondly, that he loves the people for no other reason except for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first hadith. The second hadith the Shaykh brings is the hadith, مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ وَأَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ وَمَنَعَ لِلَّهِ وَوَالَى فِي اللَّهِ وَعَادَى فِي اللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ. Six things are mentioned in this hadith. Whoever loves for the sake of Allah, and who hates for the sake of Allah, and who gives for Allah, and withholds for Allah, for the sake of Allah, and who makes allegiance and loyalty for the sake of Allah, and makes enmity and disloyalty for the sake of Allah, then he has completed Iman. He has completed Iman. So here the Shaykh says that a person does not love for the sake of personalities, but he loves for the sake of Allah. And a sign of the love of Allah is that when a Muslim he sees that his Shaykh or his companion has made a mistake, then he will not pretend to be blind from that mistake. Rather, he will say, this is a mistake, and what is correct is such and such. Now this here is what the Shaykh is indicating here is one of the unique characteristics of the people who are from the awliya of Allah, in that because their loving is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not for the sake of people, therefore when they see a mistake from their sheikh or their companion or whoever else, then they will act in a way that love of Allah requires from them, which is to say, this is a mistake and this is what is correct. And this is unlike the people of innovation from the people of Hizbiyyah, those who love whom they love, irrespective of whether they are upon that which is correct, irrespective of whether they make mistakes. So this is like a person who says that no matter what you do, I will follow you. If you're right, I will be right. If you're wrong, I will be wrong. The key thing is that I simply want to follow you. And so this is opposed to the way of the people of truth, because the people of truth, they never remain silent upon the mukhalif, upon the one who opposes the truth. And even if it be from the most loftiest of the people, from the people of knowledge. And a number of examples are given here by the Shaykh. The first example is narrated by Abu Dawood, As-Sijistani, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his Sunan and others, from the hadith of Ubadah bin As-Samit radiyallahu anhu. It was said to Ubadah radiyallahu anhu that a man came to him, and it was said that Abu Muhammad says that the witr prayer is wajib. And so Ubadah bin As-Samit radiyallahu anhu, he said, kadhaba Abu Muhammad. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خمس صلوات كتبهن الله على العباد في اليوم والليلة. That it was said to Ubadah that Abu Muhammad says that the witr is wajib. So he replied, Abu Muhammad has lied. كذب أبو محمد. And what he means here is that he has made a mistake. He has made a khata. Rather, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, there are five prayers which Allah has prescribed upon the servants in a day and night. So he used that hadith to show that the obligatory prayers are five in number. And anyone who makes an additional prayer to be obligatory, then he has made a mistake. So we see here that he declared, the Sahabi, he immediately clarified the truth. A second example is narrated from Asim al-Ahwal, who said that I sat with Qatada. Qatada is from the great Tabi'een, rahimahullah ta'ala, and in his presence Amr bin Ubaid was mentioned. Amr bin Ubaid, the Mu'tazili. So Qatada began to revile him and speak ill of him. And so Asim said, I said to Qatada, I don't think the scholars really should be speaking about each other. And so Qatada said, Ya Ahwal, أولا تدري أن الرجل إذا ابتدأ فينبغي أن يذكر حتى يحذر. So he said, O Ahwal, do you not see that a man, when he innovates, it is desirable for him to be mentioned such that caution can be taken against him? This is narrated by Al-Dhahabi and others. So we see here from these two examples, the Shaykh says that this is what the imams of the religion, those who are the defenders of the sunnah, this is what they are upon. This is the way that they follow. This is what they do. They do what Qatada did. And they do what Ubadah bin As-Samit radiallahu anhu, what he did. Because they are their salaf. And this is the way that they follow. And likewise, we have a narration from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, narrated by Al-Lalika'i, and he says, by Allah, this is the statement of Ibn Abbas, by Allah, I do not think that there is anyone that Shaitan wishes to perish more than me. There is no one that Shaitan loves that he should perish more than me, Ibn Abbas, that I should perish. And then it was said to him, why? How is this? He said that an innovation is innovated in the East or the West, and then a man brings it and carries it to me, and then when it comes to me, I destroy it by the sunnah, and so then it is rejected against him. And we see also Abu Uthman al-Sabuni rahimahullah ta'ala, he narrates in his book Aqidatu Salaf wa Ashabul Hadith the famous incident of Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, that a man asked Imam Malik about the verse Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arshi istawa, kayfa istawa, how did Ar-Rahman, how did he make istawa? So Imam Ahmad remained silent, and his, you know, he appeared, started getting angry, and his veins began to appear, and then he said al-istiwa'u ma'lum wal-kayfu ghayru ma'qul wa fi riwayatin wal-kayfu majhul wal-imanu bihi wajib was-su'al anhu bid'ah wa ma araka illa dalan thumma amara bihi fa-ukhraj. So he says that al-istiwa is known, and how is not, is cannot be understood, or how is unknown, and faith in it is obligatory, and asking about it is an innovation. I do not see you except to be an astray person. Then he commanded him to be expelled. So the Shaykh says, or the Shaykh has brought all of these examples, these four or five examples from the Salaf, to show that from the traits and qualities of a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this is his way. He does not remain silent in the face of batil, and in the face of falsehood, unlike the people of Hizbiyya, and likewise, as we shall see from the extreme Sufis and other than them, those who follow blindly their sheikhs in everything that they say and they do. All of this clashes with what it means to be a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next, the Shaykh, he discusses a statement which is ascribed to Imam Malik, or a statement in general, in fact, which is said, "Ma minna illa," which translates as follows, that there is none amongst us except one who refutes and one who is refuted. There is none amongst us except one who refutes and one who is refuted. The Shaykh asked the question, what is the meaning of this statement? The Shaykh says, this is an ambiguous general statement which can be clarified by in the following way. The first way is through what is narrated by Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, in that he used to say whenever he would finish a lesson, kullu kalamin fihi maqbulun wa mardudun illa sahib hadha al-qabr, ya'ni an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that every speech contains that which can be accepted from it and that which can be rejected from it, except for the companion of this grave, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So from this speech we see a number of things. Number one, that everything from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is obligatory to accept, because he is ma'soom, he is infallible from making mistakes, and his statement is the truth, and his information is truthfulness. And secondly, that as for everybody else besides the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they are of two types. Their statements are of two types. Either it is accepted because it agrees with what the Messenger of Allah said, and the second is rejected because it opposes what the Messenger of Allah said. A second statement that helps to elaborate upon this, the statement we are discussing, is the statement of Al-Barbahari rahimahullah ta'ala in his book Sharh al-Sunnah, and he says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْخُرُوجَ مِنَ الطَّرِيقِ عَلَى وَجْهَيْنِ, know that departing from the path occurs in two ways. As for the first, it is a man who has erred from the path, but he does not desire except goodness, meaning he is sincere and he desired goodness, but he's erred from the path. Then he is not to be followed in his mistake, because he is one who will perish. Okay, so even though he does not desire except goodness, he's strayed from the path, and he will perish. And the second one is the one who stubbornly opposes the truth, and he opposes those who came before him from the righteous pious people, meaning the Salaf. So he is فَهُوَ ضَالٌ مُضِلٌ شَيْطَانٌ مَرِيدٌ, he is an astray, he's a stray person who leads others astray, and a rebellious devil in this ummah. It is obligatory upon the one who knows of him to warn the people against him and to explain to the people about his situation so that no one falls into his innovation and therefore perishes. So the Shaykh says, what an amazing and excellent statement this is from Al-Barbahari. And this statement, in fact, it comprises a scale of balance, a scale of balance and measure, and a wise and lofty methodology which explains to us how we behave and how we interact with the opposer. And what it shows us is, first of all, that the opposer is refuted, whoever he may be, whether he opposed out of sincerely wanting the truth or not, it makes no difference. Any opposition and every opposition, it is rejected. Secondly, that we look at the one who made the mistake. If he's from Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah, then his mistake is not followed, it is clarified and explained, but at the same time we maintain his honor and his respect. However, if a mistake occurs from the people of innovation, then the mistake is warned against, and that person is warned against, and he's rebuked because he is not from the people of the Sunnah. And then the Shaykh brings a statement of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, who said, as occurs in Zad al-Ma'ad, whoever originates or brings about statements and foundations and principles from his own understanding and from his own interpretation, it is not obligatory upon the Ummah to follow them, nor to refer back to them for judgment, up until and unless they are thrown against what the Messenger of Allah (s.a.w.) he came with, and what he brought. So if they are in agreement with that, and what the Messenger brought testifies to them that they are correct, then they are accepted. And if what the Messenger brought opposes that, then it is obligatory to reject them and to throw them away. And then he says, if either of these two situations do not become clear, meaning that it's not clear that it agrees with the Sunnah, nor does it disagree with the Sunnah, so either way it has not become clear which of the two it is, then he says, then the best of what it can be said, the best situation that can be said here, is that it's permissible to rule by it, or it can be also abandoned. But as for anyone saying that it is obligatory to follow this, then this is incorrect. So in other words, we see from all of these narrations and all of these statements the issue of accepting the truth and rejecting the falsehood, and the criterion in all of that is the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then the Shaykh brings a statement from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah when he comments on the hadith of Al-Irbad bin Sariyah. He says, describing the people of truth, they know that the most truthful of speech is the speech of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they give preference to the speech of Allah upon other than his speech. They give preference to Allah's speech over all of the speech, no matter who that speech might be from all the various types of people. And they give preference to the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam against the guidance of everyone else. It is for this reason that they are called Ahlul Kitabi was Sunnah, the people of the Book and the Sunnah. And they are called Ahlul Jama'ah, the people of the Jama'ah, because the Jama'ah is what unites, and its opposite is Al-Furqa. And so he says that this Jama'ah, it indicates the Ijma', the consensus, which is the third principle after the Book and the Sunnah, which the people of knowledge and religion, that they depend upon. And they weigh everything by these three foundations, the Kitab, the Sunnah, and Ijma'. So everything that the people are upon, their statements, their actions, inward or outward, they are weighed by way of these three foundations. And this is the end of the quotation from Ibn Taymiyyah by the Shaykh. So the Shaykh says, we can conclude here by stating that there are a number of points that from everything that we've discussed. Number one, that the people of the Sunnah depend in evaluating the statements and the actions, they depend upon a text or ijma', a text from the Quran or the Sunnah, which is nas, or ijma', which is consensus of the Salaf. So in other words, everything is evaluated by nas and ijma', by text and by consensus. Secondly, that we maintain the honor of the one who opposes the Sunnah if he's from the people of the Sunnah. And we don't start following up his mistakes and so on and so forth, because he made a genuine mistake. Thirdly, we warn against the people of innovation and misguidance, because the hadith have made that clear. After all of this, the Shaykh then brings another hadith which explains to us the qualities of the Awliya of Ar-Rahman, which is the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى نَبِيًّا. He has tasted Iman who is pleased with Allah as his Lord, and with Islam as his religion, and with Muhammad as his Prophet. So the Shaykh says, this allegiance and this loyalty that we are speaking of in this principle, it is something that the Book and the Sunnah have indicated, and it means obedience to him, to Allah, and loving him, and doing his commands, and keeping away from his prohibitions, and treating to be halal what Allah made halal and his messenger made halal, treating to be haram what he made haram and his messenger made haram. All of this together is from the loyalty and the allegiance in the view of the people of the Sunnah. So when we speak of al-walaya, this loyalty and allegiance, this is what it means to us. It means obedience, love, action, keeping away from his prohibitions, following his commands, treating halal what is halal and abiding by that, treating haram what is haram and abiding by that. You can see all of that, this walaya is in terms of one's actions. As for the Sufis, we see that walaya to them is the obedience to their Shaykh. Obedience to their Shaykh, and submitting to the Shaykh in everything which he commands and everything which he prohibits, even in things he makes halal or makes haram. So if he makes something halal or haram, he is to be followed in that. Why? Because they have a belief that he is ma'soom. He's ma'soom. He is infallible. Why? Because he receives, as some of them claim, that he is in direct communication with his Lord. His Lord reveals to him, and his Lord inspires to him. And so what the Shaykh says, the Sufi Shaykh, what he says, then that is essentially like it is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is to be obeyed blindly in every single thing. And you will see that from the utter misguidance of these people in how they turn things the other way around, and from these misguided people, those who are from the extreme Sufis, we see that they say something along the following lines. They say, never trust the scholars, never ever trust the scholars, meaning don't trust in everything they say, but question everything they say, and blindly follow the saints. So question and undermine the scholars, and blindly follow the sheikhs. The Sufi sheikhs, the Sufi poles and the sheikhs. So why do they say this? Well, this is connected to their statement and their claim that there is a hidden reality, there is a batin and there is a zahir. The scholars are the ones who deal just with the zahir. They speak about the laws and the prohibitions on the basis of Sharia texts. And as for that hidden knowledge, it is that which comes to the Sufi sheikhs. It is that which they are inspired with directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a living revelation that they receive. And so therefore, this is, you will see from them that on the one hand, they undermine the true and real scholars, and likewise the true and real awliya of Allah, who abide by the Sharia. So they undermine them, and then they praise and raise those who are the, as we said, the Sufi sheikhs, those who believe in these kind of ideas, that the outward sharia is for the common people, but the hidden secret knowledge is for the really truly, you know, the truly people, the truly righteous people. So this leads us to make the final point that the Shaykh ends his discussion of this principle, which is, he says that Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, he said at the end of the principle, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab said that the affair then became turned the other way around. ثُمَّ سَارَ الْأَمْرُ إِنْ دَأَكْثَرِ مَنْ يَدَّ الْإِلْمَ مَنْ يَدَّ الْإِلْمَ وَأَنَّهُ مِنْ حُدَاتِ الْخَلْقِ وَهُفَاذِ الشَّرْعِ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ الْأَوْلِيَاءَ لَا بُدَّ فِيهِ مِنْ تَرْكِ اتِّبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ وَمَنْ تَبِعَهُمْ فَلَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ يَا رَبَّنَا نَسْأَلُكَ الْعَفْوَ وَالْعَافِيَةَ إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَاءَ. So the end of the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin al-Wahhab, that then the affair turned the other way around in the view of many of those who claim knowledge and who claim they are guiding the creation and claim that they are protecting and preserving the Sharia, that the awliya of Allah must abandon following the messengers, and that anyone who follows the messengers is not from them. This, in fact, what they mean by this is exactly what I've just explained about those who undermine the awliya and the ulama, those who have the true fiqh and the true understanding and who abide by the Sharia. They undermine them, and they say that to be a true wali of Allah, you have to follow those, meaning you have to follow the Sufi sheikhs, those who believe in these secret, hidden, esoteric types of knowledge, and only through blind obedience to the sheikhs can you be initiated into the chain, you know, that chain that they have. So all of this is from the falsehood, and many of those people who are unfortunately taken as scholars and who are taken as callers to Allah, then those people really take them away from what the messenger brought, and they call them to abandon what the messenger brought. And that's why you see them being attached to the graves, to the tombs, sacrificing to those graves and tombs, calling upon them besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, exaggerating with respect to those graves and tombs and the sheikhs and so on and so forth, and raising them to a level greater and higher than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all of this is from the false walaya, the false loyalty and allegiance that Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab is speaking of. And so in conclusion, we summarize that the true walaya to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based upon sincerity and purity of tawheed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to abandon whatever he prohibited, the greatest of which is committing shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is in rububiyyah or in ibadah or in atta'a, in obedience, and to do whatever Allah commanded and keep away from whatever Allah prohibited. All of this is the true and the real walaya, the walaya of Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah. And from that we see the false and the fake walaya that is presented and claimed by the various Sufis in all of their different chains and different sects and so on and so forth. And with that, the Shaykh Ubaid concludes and ends his discussion of the sixth principle. And inshallah, in the next lesson, we shall look at the explanation of Shaykh Zayd al-Madkhali, hafizhahullah ta'ala. With that, we conclude our lesson today. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.